Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The show is about to begin.
Welcome to the podcast, Conscience That Made Us. Interviews and stories, tales from the bus. We love taking you back to when it all went down. The greatest live shows and the cheering crowd sound. It's Concerts, Concerts That Made Us, ConcertsThatMadeUs.com.
How's it going, y'all? This is Matt Oakley, and you're listening to Concerts That Made Us.
Nothing but got nothing missing. If you met him, you'd say it too. He's the richest man I knew. Yeah, he told me to pray a little longer. Tie your boots, boy, work a little harder. Life's tough, but it's easy when you're smarter. Stay true to yourself, you'll go farther. Love everybody, cause one day you might need somebody. And don't you ever try to hurt. Say yes sir, no man. Look him in the eyes when you shake hands. Don't wait for pain just to say prayers. Just take your time, boy, you'll get there. Yeah, he told me to pray a little longer. Tie your boots, boy, work a little harder. Life's tough, but it's easy when you're smarter. Stay true to yourself, you'll go farther. Love everybody, cause one day you might need somebody. And don't you ever try to hurt nobody. Those are just a few things that he told me. Well, he lived just a little bit different. Got nothing but got nothing missing. And Lord knows that we're missing you. He's the richest man I know.
Matt Oakley, you're very welcome to Concerts That Made Us.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you now. You're quickly making a name for yourself in the country music scene. What do you credit your success to?
To be honest, I think first and foremost, I mean, it's something I've prayed on a lot, just letting it happen the way that it's supposed to happen. At no point did I want to microwave anything per se, as the term goes. And I've been blessed to have a lot of people in my life help me get to this point. And obviously we want to take it further, but it is really cool along the way to kind of look at how the journey's gone and more importantly, who's been there beside me doing it. So I owe a lot of people a lot of thank yous for the fact that I'm here. But it's really just been a lot of learning, a lot of being open to try new things. And I try not to be stubborn in this lane because I didn't walk into it knowing much. So it's just been fun and I've just been open and learning. And I think the authenticity with everyone involved has helped it get to where it's gotten.
Right. First off, what I'm getting from that is when you're accepting your first Grammy, your speech is going to be about 20 minutes long, thanking people.
Probably. I won't lie. I've practiced my Grammy speech a few times in my kitchen or in my car when no one is around. What would I say if I were to get an award today? And it almost always goes that route. So
I see. I get you. Now, when it comes to writing songs, walk us through the process for you. What does it look like?
I think the biggest thing for me is I try to, as best I can, pull from real life experiences, whether they're my own or some of my close friends or my family. I've got a lot to pull from as far as just what I've been through. I'm a military kid. So I moved all around. My dad was in the Army for 22 years. So we moved all about. I actually lived overseas for a little bit, and then moving around the States, ended up going to school down in South Carolina, meeting a lot of good friends, and now I moved down in Florida. So I've been a lot of places. I've met a lot of people. And so I just try my best when I sit down to write. I never try and force anything. I normally just, what comes to mind is usually something that I've been through or I can pull from and take it in a story direction. So it almost always is sparked by some real life situation that either I've been through or some of my close friends have been through.
That's right. Do you look at any famous artists for inspiration or maybe that you'd liken yourself to?
For sure. I mean, a pretty popular one right now, and he's been popular for a little while, but Riley Green, he's got the way that he writes his songs. You can tell from the first couple lines, it's real and it's raw. I really, really think that the way that he writes is the way that I've tried to learn how to write, is packaging up what you want to say in the right way, in an authentic way that people will receive it. So I'd say Riley Green. I also am a big fan of the Lee Bryces of the world, the Eric Churches of the world, obviously Morgan Wallen. There's so many, you can't really go wrong, but I'd say those guys are the first people that come to my mind.
Right. You know, I've said it before on the podcast, is like, for a long time over this side of the world, country kind of, it wasn't cool, you know, back in, it was cool in the 90s, you know, when you had Garth Brooks, stuff like that. The mid 2000s, late 2000s, it kind of went a bit uncool, but it's kind of coming full circle again and getting cool again. You're hearing it more on the radio. What's your opinion on it?
You're spot on. To me, in my mind, it was, and in my family, it was always cool to us. We would play it all the time. So I'm trying to think of those like 2000s bands or artists. I mean, Rascal Flatts was always playing. I remember being in elementary school playing Chris Young songs and stuff I didn't even relate to, but I always loved it. And actually, the way that you phrased that question was perfect, because when I first started getting into music, I posted a few covers of just a few country songs and a few pop songs, just playing the piano. It wasn't very good, but I posted them out there and they did pretty well. And when I started making music, for the first couple months when I would write songs, I kind of shied away from the country stuff because I was in college and it wasn't cool. And I, as with all the artists, you look at Morgan Wallen when he was on, I think it was The Voice maybe, he was doing like these rock or alternative pop songs. And I think I struggled with that in the beginning too, was just letting go of the fact that it might not be cool. But now that it is, it's kind of worked itself out that I just stuck with what I felt like I was made for, I guess, as an artist. And that is making just genuine country music. And I think you're right. It's taken this turn in this last year. I think a lot of it has to do with the way that you can modernize songs with 808s and hi-hats and digital in-the-box stuff, while also switching. You can go make a song on the computer and then you can go with a full band and bring it in a whole different light. So I think really just the versatility of where artists have taken country music has helped it become even more mainstream than, say, it's ever been.
Definitely. And, you know, you've got a track dropping pretty soon, May 10th, Can't Take the Dogs. Give us some insights into it.
So it's actually May 3rd. I thought it was May 10th for the longest time. So we were in the same boat. I actually just got that confirmed yesterday that it's coming out May 3rd. So I'm super stoked. I think it's a month from tomorrow. So that song is super special to me. And I mean, I can, if we got time, which we obviously do, I can kind of walk through how that came about and the process of writing that song. So, like I said, a lot of my songs come from personal experience and or people around me. And this one was a little bit of both. So it was actually about our family dog. When my parents split, they let us decide. This was like 15 years ago. So it's not a sore soft or soft spot by any metric. But I remember like the kids got to decide which parent they stayed with. But the biggest legal battle had to do with who got the dog. And I remember and not to go into too much detail, and I'm sure my parents don't want me to bring up 15-year-old drama here, but it was for like months, it was like, who got the dog? And then it ended up working itself out, and it was all cool. So I sat down, and I was actually in the studio with our current family dog, and I was like just petting her. And I was like, hey, it'd be cool to make a song about, you know, and I've always had dogs. I'll make a song about a dog. And I immediately went there. I was like, you know, it would be cool writing this kind of breakup-y song, but flipping it to the perspective of, I don't even care about the relationship. I don't even care about the physical things. You can take all that. I'm taking the dogs with me. And so that's where it came about. And the concept of it, the first verse, and we'll hear it on May 3rd, is just, you can take the pictures, you can take the frames, hell, you can even take the walls, but you can't take the dogs. And it's kind of, I wrote it as just this little scratch demo on my acoustic guitar. And it would just sit, it sat on my laptop for a couple months. And then I was having a conversation with one of my friends, and they were telling me about a breakup they went through. And they were like, in the middle of the day, we were fighting left and right. We already broke up, but we still had stuff in the house. We had a dog together. And I just packed up my car when this was a girl I was talking to. She was like, I packed up my car when he was at work, and I drove 12 hours back to my hometown with the dog, texted him saying, you can have everything else. And so I had this idea sitting on my computer, and she told me this story. And so I immediately called my engineer, and I had him book studio time for that night, went in there, tracked a real guitar, threw some ideas around, and we finished the song that night, sent it around to some people, and got it in the hands of the Nashville guys, David Ray Stevens and Phil Mosley, who are actually the executive producers on all my songs you'll hear coming out over the course of this year. And they brought it to life in the way that I think no one else could have. So I thank them for that. And now it's this fully polished thing. So it really is cool. And I love to be able to provide some insight on the songwriting process. A lot of people think it's go write it, record it, put it out. But this song is a year and a half in the making. We shot a music video to it like 9 months ago, where I have short hair and no beard. It's such a long process to get to this point. And I'm super grateful for the opportunity even to talk about it on this platform, and as we roll it out and keep going.
Yeah. Oh man, that is crazy that it took that long. It's probably a bit of an impossible question now, but what aspects of the song do you think listeners will like most?
You're right. It is a bit of an impossible question because when I write my songs, in the beginning of writing, I would always be like, will they like this? Will they, or like you said, or this isn't cool. I shouldn't say that. You kind of have to let that go, and you can't really take the listener in mind. But now that it's done and it's out, I do think that people are going to resonate with the fact that, the moral of the song is all these things that we have and that we spend so much time arguing about. The real important things are either the relationships we have with a family, our friends, or even animals. And obviously most people have a soft spot for dogs. So I think it's going to hit home to, whereas it can get so bad in a certain point, and say in this situation, it's a relationship. But the one thing that me in this instance, or my parents, or this relationship I was telling you about, the only thing that mattered was keeping that companionship with that animal. And I think that's what's going to hit home the most.
Definitely. I've obviously heard the track and I love it. And you're right. It really, if you are a dog lover, it just goes right in here, you know, and it just hits you. So
thank you.
It's definitely, I'd imagine it's going to be massive when it drops.
That means a lot to me. Thank you. Yeah. Do you have dogs yourself? Is that why?
Not currently. I have had dogs in the past. I had a little King Charles for, I think, 9 or 10 years, and it was like a baby to me, you know, the whole family. So it really kind of, you know, that's, I keep saying goes, I'm going to get another one.
When you sign up for it and when you bring that puppy home, it's like, it very quickly starts ruling your life and the way that you do things, the time you wake up, when you go outside, all those things. So, I feel like, I don't know how everyone doesn't love dogs, but the people who do, like you said, I hope it hits them in the way that it's hit me when I wrote it and for people I've played it for.
Yeah, definitely. Now, it's called Concerts That Made Us, so I have to ask you some concert-related questions. First off, as a concert goer, what concerts do you think have made you?
So that's a great question because I have a very relevant answer. Obviously, when I was in college and when I graduated in 2022. But I would do just these little dive bar shows when I was starting out. And there's some fun in that. You just go up there and you got your crowd of 100 people and your buddies are out there. But my first big concert was last year. And it kind of like springboarded all of this stuff that's going on. It was CCMF, the Carolina Country Music Fest down in Myrtle Beach. And it was just a 3-day event. And I got to perform on Saturday on the side stage right before Bailey Zimmerman, Ernest, Kenny Chesney. And so it just felt like this big moment to be able to share. And what's crazy about it is I went to college in Myrtle Beach. So my first big show, I was doing it in my college town where I had written all these songs, and it was just like a full perspective moment. And after that, I got linked up with a few people down in Nashville. Those guys I was telling you about, David Ray and Phil Mosley. And we just started writing. And I remember we had a session where we wanted to get like two songs. I think we said getting one good song would be good. Getting two would be great. I was there for 3 days and we walked out of there with four songs that are all going to be on my debut album. We don't know when that's going to drop, but we loved all four of them. And we were like, we're all in now. And those guys are incredible. They've had me at their homes. They've had me at the studio. They've had me over at Warner Chapel. They've just opened doors for me that I'm super grateful for. And all of that started kind of spiraling in a good way after that Carolina Country Music Festival concert. So I feel like that's as relevant as an answer as I can give you.
That is actually probably the most perfect response to that question I've ever had. I have to ask, you know, when you're playing a festival of that scale with those other performers at that level in their careers, what do you learn?
Yeah, let go of your ego. I think that's right. The biggest thing is, for me right now, I love all my songs and I love the opportunity to share them with people. And you'll hear me touch a lot on, I already have this call, touch on how I thought about the industry in the beginning as I got into it versus where I think of it now. And if you were to put me on that stage when I first started out, I would have probably felt some sense of entitlement to where, oh, I deserve to be here because I'm good. That's not really how it works. When I got there and I was performing, and when I was done and I walked off stage, I was just washed over with this like feeling of gratitude. It felt like all of the work that I had put into that point was fulfilled. And I didn't really think much about I'm the little guy or these are the big guys. I went to their sets and I sang all their songs in the crowd as a fan, because at the end of the day, that's really what I am, is a true fan of country music. And it's played such a big role in my life to where if I am the little guy, and I have the opportunity to sit there in a crowd with my buddies and sing these songs that we listen to on the radio, in the gym, in our cars, I'm going to do it, because it's a feeling that it's hard to explain, especially when I'm doing it. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be at events with big names like that, learn from them. And it also inspires me, because of course, one day I want to be a headliner at a big festival like that. But it's these baby steps along the way that I've learned to appreciate rather than feel like, oh, I should be up there instead of them, or I should be doing it. I don't feel that at all. And I think that's just comes with like letting the ego go.
Yeah, I agree. Now, for any listeners that haven't been lucky enough to attend one of your shows, give us the full experience if you can. What can we expect?
For sure. Yeah. So I try to treat my concerts as just like a hangout. You're there trying to have a good time and I'm there trying to have a good time. I understand it's my job and responsibility to perform and entertain. And so I always try and engage the crowd normally. And obviously I'm like a upcoming artist, so you might not know all my songs. And like you said, for people who haven't been yet, I'll give them some background on this song just real quick, maybe 30 seconds. This song is this, and this is how I wrote it, and this is why I wrote it. And then I'll get into it. And it's one of those things where I don't ever want to just go up there and yell at people through a microphone, even if it sounds good. That's kind of what it feels like. And so I try and engage the crowd, throw some high fives here and there, talk to them and tell them about what's going on or where the song came from. And just, I think engaging and then bringing the energy when it is time to sing and it is time to yell through that microphone, I try and do it as energetic as I possibly can.
Right. Sounds like a hell of a show. Is there any fan encounters that kind of stick in your mind?
For sure. So at one of my concerts, I was performing and when I was done, and this was the first time anyone's ever asked for my autograph. And I was helping the sound guys. I was like, you need any help? I was giving them my in-ears. I was giving them my receivers. We had to pack up some of the laptop stuff. And there was this girl just waiting at the front of the stage and people were funneling out. And I was like, oh, like maybe she wants to say hi. And I walked over and she was like super like happy that I was saying what's up to her. And in my mind, I'm just me. Like I'm not big yet. And so she was like, would you be willing to like sign my cowboy hat? And it was this pink cowboy hat. And I signed it and took a picture with her and walked away. And I realized in that moment where it's like, that's really what I want to be, is like the ability to, because I was that kid who wanted the high fives and wanted the autographs when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And even though in my mind, it's not a big deal because I haven't quite made it yet. But when I do make it, my goal is to be able to do all those things and never get too ahead of myself. Always be ready to slow down and be able to give those experiences to people, because you never know who's in the crowd. There could be a version of me at one of my shows who wants to make music, and maybe an interaction will spark that. So just treating everything with humility is what I got from that interaction. So I'd say that was probably my biggest fan interaction that stuck out in my head.
I like it. And we love hearing about these stories. Now, is there a gig that you played where maybe everything went wrong? And how did you overcome it?
Yes, for sure. So I was playing this show and I didn't have a band. I just had my guitarist. And so we had to line in. And for those who don't know, lining in is basically taking tracks that you aren't playing live and direct lining them in from a computer into the system. So it plays it and you sing over top of it. And so it kept cutting out. And we figured out it was doing it in sound check, and we figured out that it was a cable that was loose. And so we duct tape it and made it tight. And so there was like this little countdown going on. It was like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I came out of the back and I went on stage, went to the mic and the song, and they clicked play on the backing track and nothing was playing. And so I just laughed it off and I was like, oh, we got some technical difficulties and we got it going. We're like 3 songs in. And then halfway through the 4th song, everything just cuts out. And it was an original song of mine that I hadn't released. And I was like, I didn't really know how to play it off. And so I was just like, and that's all I just played it off as like, and that's all, like, it was a teaser. I was like, that's all I can play for y'all. Like, unfortunately, like, we're still trying to finish it, but that I wanted to play you at least that much. And I looked back at, my buddy who was running my sound, and he was like, I don't know what to tell you. And I was like, we have to figure it out. So the rest of that show, in the back of my, it's hard to perform in general because you got to let go of those nerves. But then tacking on the fact that at any given time, it could just cut out, that was so nerve wracking. So that was, I take sound check a whole lot more serious now after that experience.
I'd say so. Oh my God.
It was bad.
I'm glad you brought up nerves, because how do you know, before showtime, what's your pre-show and your post-show? How do you psych yourself up? And then afterwards, how do you wind down?
Yeah, so I usually always just pray before I go up there. And I'll just, regardless of if people like it or don't like it, I just pray for a good show. And I hope everything can go as smooth as possible. And that kind of gets me through a lot of it, because I know in that moment, I've given it up to God. And at that point, however it comes off on my behalf is how it's going to be perceived. So I normally just hang out with the boys in the back, have some of my buddies in the back room with me. And like I said, just treating it like a hangout, coming out there, saying what's up, and then diving into it. I'm not at a point where I'm playing, you know, 5,000, 10,000 caps. So it's like, it's a couple hundred people at most right now, at the stage I'm at in my career. So it's like I said, everyone there is just, let's hang out, let's have a good time.
Still in all though, you know, 100 people is the same as, you know, the nerves wise, it's the same as standing in front of 5,000.
Yeah, it's true. Honestly, it might be even more nerve wracking now that I think about it, because with 5,000 people, you kind of get lost, you lose every face. But with 100, 200 people, you see everybody and whether or not they're liking it or not. And I'll tell you what, like if 50% of the crowd claps and it's only 100 people, it doesn't sound nearly as loud as if 1,000 people are there and 500 people are clapping, you know? So it's like, it's one of those things, know where you're at. Don't make it, don't psych yourself out. Just go out there. And I think, like I said, about the writing side of things, people can sense like your authenticity in your words. I think people can also sense like your nerves and your confidence, and singing and performing, I think all has to do with how confident you are going into it. So I try and hype myself up beforehand.
Right. And before we dive into the last couple of questions, then future plans that are set in stone, more music gigs. I know you're playing Patriots Fest.
Yep. So we're over the course of this year, I'll just go on the release and music side first, and then we can talk about shows. Yep. But like I said, after that festival last summer, and I went down to Nashville and we just hit it off. We were like, let's write a project. I've never written an album or released an album. It's only been singles. And so it's done. The album's finished, which is such a cool feeling to have. And so over the next couple months, we're going to be releasing singles leading up to it. And then when it's time and we feel like it's appropriate, and who knows, maybe a song or two will sneak onto it that we're finishing up now. But that's what the next 12 months looks like in terms of putting music out. But as far as shows go, I've got, like you said, the Patriots Fest. I'm super stoked to do that. Ted Nugent, Three Doors Down, Big and Rich, like there's some classic names that are going to be at this festival. And so the fact that it's one day and everyone's funneled to check out the acts is going to be really cool. And it's also like I said, I'm a military kid. And so being able to be out there, and the whole point of the fest is to bring attention and awareness to, you know, just supporting the military and the armed forces. So it'll be fun. I'm doing a couple gigs down here in Tampa. Dates and stuff, I'll have to figure it out. I'm not great with my calendar, but we're looking forward to, once we put a pause on like going out and doing shows until we get some of the new stuff out. And I think ultimately the goal is to center some either regional small cap tour or like a college tour once the album comes out. And so I can just go out there and rip the new songs. Cause I'm really proud of where I'm at now as a musician versus what's out. I'm not saying what's out on Spotify and Apple and all that is bad. I think it's all great, but this music is such a step forward from all of that. I'm just excited to get it out in the world and start playing it. But obviously, as you know, there's steps to it and you gotta kind of walk the line per se. So that's just what I'm doing right now, and I'll take it as it goes.
Right. You know, I can't move on without asking you, what can we expect from the album then when it finally does drop?
In my mind, it's a classic. I just, and that's the word that keeps getting thrown around in rooms. And where it really hit me is, you know, people who have been in this industry for 10, 15, 20 years, or people who are high up in A&R and at major labels, I've sat down and I've played through it with them. And the word that keeps getting thrown around is like a classic. I wasn't the one that threw that on there. So for me to hear that from people who have been around music their whole life, I mean, I hope that's how it's received by the world. But there's, as far as what to expect, we're shooting for, like I said, we may sneak a song or two on there. So we're shooting for between 10 to 15 songs. There's super like energetic and loud songs. There is slow love songs. There is party songs. There's solo songs. There's just everything. And it's the thing I like about this project is it being my first one, I wanted it to be like I sang all the backgrounds. I sang all the harmonies. There's no features. And so it's just, I want to be able to give the world like something that's just completely who I think I am as an artist and as a person. All the songs are drawn from something that I've gone through, or like I said, people I know have gone through. And so it's just a version of me that I'm putting out in the world for people. And I'm just excited to get there whenever we do get there.
Right. Try light a fire under them or something. Get them to release a tune, or I'm anticipating hearing it now. I'm sure lots of others are.
Hopefully a couple months is the max, but we'll see. It's, and if here, like you said, if Can't Take the Dogs goes crazy, then there's, you never know how quickly we'll be wanting to get a full project out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. We'll dive into the last couple of questions. These are a few random fun ones, but I'm intrigued to see your answers. First off, if you had to spend 24 hours locked in a room with any musician from history, who would it be?
Damn. I feel like in dead or alive?
Yeah, can be dead or alive.
Elvis Presley.
I like it. A man after Elvis my own heart.
So I, just a little background on that. When I was little, like when I was like 5 years old, we had one of them Harry Potter closets in our basement where like under the staircase. And they basically let me use it, and I made it like an Elvis like fan club almost. But it was just, I would go in there and I would play his songs through a CD player, and I'd have posters of Elvis and like concerts he's done and all that stuff. And I had ornaments that played like Elvis songs. I would say like that is what sparked my love for music. And so if I could be locked in a studio and, or just pick his brain for a day, that would be obviously it's impossible, but you said dead or alive. So that's an easy one for me.
Yeah. What I'm going to say next now, I'm sure there's listeners and viewers saying, oh, he's not saying it again, but I couldn't agree more. I'm a massive Elvis fan. When I was a kid, 5, 6, I used to collect his CDs and albums. I'm pretty sure I have nearly everything he ever recorded. So I love that myself. But good pick. The next one, what are you currently obsessed with? It can be a book, food, movie, anything.
I mean, it's going to sound a little boring because we've talked about it the whole time, but I feel like every single day I'm either working or writing a new song. And so I think songwriting and the creation and the artistic side of music is what I'm obsessed with now. But if I take it away and I go more personal, I mean, I try and spend as much time. I love my family. I love my friends. And so I'm always the one to be willing to hop on a plane and go visit some buddies, or hop on a plane and go visit my family. Or if I haven't seen my mom or dad in too long, I just feel like, you know, those people who have been supporting that side of me also support like the real me, and I support them. And so it's just, I'd say you can't really beat either, whether it's going to the gym or going to the beach or going to a nice dinner with some buddies. I mean, I put that at the top of my list of hobbies, or I really wouldn't call it an obsession, because it's something done out of like love and all that stuff. So as far as obsession, I think I'd have to stick with the songwriting.
I like it. And the final one, what is your go-to album?
When I like for what I listen to right now or all time?
All time. One you can't put down.
Sound crazy. I'd say Ed Sheeran's Divide album.
Right. What is it about Ed?
Songwriting and like the rawness. He's not the craziest. He's got a great voice and a great tone, but he's not the craziest singer in the world. And so his ability to like the way he tells stories and the way that he can like capture an emotion and put it into a song. I think that's the biggest like part of growth that I'm still figuring out. I think everyone figures it out as they go, is you have all these ideas, but the hard part isn't coming up with an idea. The hard part is, how do I want to package it up and put it out there into the world? And so I feel like he does that in such a great way. And that album as a whole, maybe it was the time of my life when it came out, it just really hit. And it's just a great A to Z. Like, I don't skip a single song on it. So I know it's not a country album, but it is like that storytelling. It's got like hints of folk with the acoustic guitar and stuff like that. So I'd have to go with that one.
Like it. Great one. Listen, Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure now. Thanks a million.
Awesome. No, happy to be here. Like I said, I appreciate it.
She's from Alabama, a quarter red-handed, drinking whiskey on Saturday night. I can't imagine, I'm overreacting, she's losing her mind.
I met a mama and told her about her problems. How it's happened now a couple of times. And girl, I'm sorry, I'll be gone by the morning, cause you ain't the marrying type. Well, she's got a way with words, and I know it hurts. So hold it, protect your pride. And girl, that's the way it works. And we ain't the first ones tricked by the morning light. So we came up, make love, and we take some. Stay up, wake up all the neighbors. Yeah, I swore I was done with her. Well, she's got a way. She's calling me, going on and on about another guy. So I take the bottle off the counter and I pour one. She's the only reason that I always gotta pour up. And ain't it funny that I bought the bottle for us? I'm the only one who's drinking now, baby. Well, she's got a way with words and I know it hurts. So bored, just protect your pride. And girl, that's the way it works. And we ain't the first ones tricked by the morning. Then we take some, stay up, wake up all the neighbors. Yeah, I swore I was done with her. But she's got a way to work.
Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. And if you're interested in signing up to Band Builder Academy, use the link in the show notes below and enter the code CONCERTS and you'll receive 10% off. So, until next time, keep rocking!
Hey! Hey, what are you guys still doing here? The show is over. It's over. You can go home. Go on. We'll see you next time. We'll be here. Bye.